You're listening to the Lifted Life Podcast. We created this show to help you live a lifted life.
Hey everyone, and welcome back. This is episode 4 of the Lifted Life Podcast, and today we are talking to you about meditation.
Wow, where to start with meditation?
Maybe we'll start with, we're not claiming to be experts. We're not claiming to be your meditation guru. Is that a good place to start?
Yeah, that's a good place to start.
And if anybody is, it would be more you than me, because my practice is a little sloppier, a little more random. Whereas, as we talked about in the, was it the last episode about daily habits? You have been practicing meditation quite regularly for how long now?
Ooh, it's coming on a year.
Awesome.
I think January, actually I did it over, I started TM, I think, over the Christmas, New Year holiday.
Okay. And I want to make sure for this episode, we're not just, you know, this is not necessarily advanced meditation. This is meditation for beginners, for meditation curious folks. So go ahead and let people know what TM is.
Well, TM stands for Transcendental Meditation. But I think to go back a little bit before that, I think in my experience, when meditation comes up, and especially people know that I meditate, they bring it up, and it always starts with someone's like, oh, you do that? I'm like, it's different than that, but yes, that's how most people think of meditation is some
guy. Do you
think
there's a stigma around like meditation? Do people tease you about meditating?
I don't know. Teasing, no, but because I think it's becoming popular right now. I think a lot of people are coming around to the concept of meditation, but I think it's important to note that it's not om. It's not someone in a orange robe sitting in a room. I mean, yeah, I think that those people
do that.
But it's also not a religion. I think a lot of people want to tie it to religion, and there's a lot of similarities I've noticed that, and I think I've been caught up in it. Well, my meditation is better than your meditation, or this is more effective than your meditation. I do TM. Well, I do this or I do that, and it's pretty easy for, I don't know if that's a natural human trait to do comparison or try to
that's
say
what the mind does.
To compare like mine's better than yours. But I think the most important thing is that's irrelevant.
Right. And I think like you said, it's not a religion, but you can practice any religion that you choose, as you should, and incorporate meditation, because there's so many benefits. And as we were kind of prepping for the show, we were talking about what we did want to discuss. And one of those things was that basically meditation is like going to the gym, which going to the gym is for the body, meditation is for the mind. And so it is simply a practice or an exercise. But what are we practicing or exercising? What are we trying to train the mind? Because we know when we go to the gym, we're, you know, working the muscles and pumping blood. I actually don't even know what really people do in the gym, what physical processes. But everybody knows that movement and exercise is good for the body, right? We can all agree with that. Well, that's what we're saying meditation can do for the mind. And so I think there was a question back there, but I forgot it. What did I say?
So I think that was a good analogy that you had, that meditation is exercise for the mind. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note that before we get too deep into it also, that you can't really do it wrong. Again, there's the comparisons of which one's better, which one, you know, how they work.
Different meditation styles, you
styles,
mean.
Yeah, mm-hmm. or techniques. Mm-hmm. But in my experience, you can't do it wrong. It's important to take the time out of your day to do the meditation and to try to separate yourself from your day and observe your thoughts and how you're creating them. That's the most important part. And you can't do it wrong. I don't subscribe that you can do it wrong.
So I think the only thing I would kind of backtrack a little, you said separate from the day. And I think what we're really trying to do when we meditate is to separate from the mind. Because our mind identity is who we think we are. It's we become this person. And really, that's just all ego-based. Mm-hmm. And so instead, when we have even a mindful minute, which is what I incorporate a lot more of versus like this 20-minute stretch, it's where I purposely say, okay, I'm just going to feel my body, be in this moment, be the watcher of my thoughts, allow every thought that comes into my mind to just be released like a passing cloud in the sky. Like, what I'm doing there is not releasing myself from the day. I'm releasing myself from the mind identity, the self that's been constructed from the mind. And so by doing that, you're training, I think, kind of going back to the question that I forgot what I asked exactly is, okay, if exercise is for the body, what meditation is for the mind, what are we exercising? What are we training our mind to do?
Okay, so I guess I'll answer that through my experience through TM first. So Transcendental Meditation, or TM, what they say to do is you get a mantra, and this is where some people get kind of, I know when I first started doing TM, we talked about it and it was a little bit weird, but you go with, I don't think they're called a guru, but your teacher, we'll go with teacher. And they kind of interview you, and then they build a mantra for you, for your style.
But shh, it's top secret.
It's top secret. Actually, our son asked me last night what my mantra was. I'm like, I can't tell you, son. And he was even a little hung up on that. Like,
wait, what? Do you have a secret?
Actually, he said, does mom know? I'm like, no, mom doesn't know either. It's between me and my teacher, my guru. No, but they give you a mantra. And, you know, they actually tell you in TM that it's irrelevant what the mantra is. It's a sound. It's not a word. It means nothing. It should mean nothing to you. But anyway, you quiet your mind, and then you start saying the mantra over and over in your head, and the mantra should come as thoughts come. So if you sit quietly, naturally you'll start thinking thoughts. You'll start thinking about your day. You'll think about what you have to do, what you didn't do, what you don't want to do, whatever. Those thoughts come. They say the mantra when those thoughts come, and you displace those thoughts with the mantra. And as you do that, slowly the mantra fades away, and then it's just quiet, and it's silence and stillness. And that's what you're trying to get to, and you try to stay in that state as long as possible. But it's irrelevant, or not irrelevant. It'll happen that thoughts will come back, and then you say the mantra again, and you go deeper in the state. And that's the concept of TM.
Mm-hmm. And then you said you were going to start with that, because I was saying, basically, what are we training our mind to do?
So we're training our mind to recognize the thoughts and how to kind of get away from them. Not attached to them, yeah.
And that kind of goes back to my theory that it's all about the mind identification. Once you strictly identify as this person with all these things going on, that's where the suffering and the struggling comes in, is because we're so identified with that story. And I think that meditation helps you disconnect from the story, recognizing that it is just a story. It's the thoughts woven together that you were thinking yesterday, that you're thinking again today. So who would you be without your story?
Yeah, I guess I never thought about it that way. That's true, that when you practice meditation, you practice separating yourself from your thoughts. I mean, I've heard that a million times from you and from other people, that, you know, it's just a thought, it's just a story. And it's not that I don't believe it. It's hard to think about it that way, I guess. Or it's hard to...
Well, and I think that's why we want to talk about meditation today, is just kind of to encourage you to either consider giving it a try, to reignite your meditation practice, to try it a new way, because maybe you tried it once or 10 times and it didn't really work for you. It didn't seem like you were doing it right. Like, we're really just trying to say, there's so many benefits to this practice. Just like you work out your body, you have to check your mind. And meditation is the way to do that, to disidentify from that mind self, which constructs so many stories, which is where so much of our stress, anxiety, you know, all of that kind of stems from, believing those disempowered thoughts. So, you said you wanted to share about, do you have another meditation kind of experience?
I think to go back, the point I was trying to get across was that when you have those still moments, I think you realize that it is true, and you are able to connect that it is a story. It is your thoughts. You are creating those thoughts. It's not that I didn't believe it. I just never could get a tangible feeling of it. But once...
Like, it's a deeper knowing. It's not like the mind thinks, oh, this is just a story. It's, you feel that it's a story. You feel that you're beyond just the realm of thought. I think that's, you know, different teachers call it different things, but Joe Dispenza talks about the quantum field and accessing the quantum field. And let's see, Eckhart Tolle talks about releasing the pain body, which is the suffering of the mind creates. So, I mean,
I think I've heard Abraham Hicks talk about listening to the air conditioner run or something like that. I think she or they, or I don't know how to describe mm-hmm. them, how to refer to Abraham.
They, I think it's good.
They, okay. It was talking about just sitting in a room when your air conditioner or your heater is running and just that constant hum or om, if you will, mm-hmm. And just sitting in silence. So I think you could do whatever. You don't necessarily have to do a certain practice.
Well, and kind of talking about it from that way, you know, there's a lot of people that think meditation has to just be breath work, which I think breath work is amazing. And if we really think about it, anytime we, you know, slip into an anxious state, our breathing becomes shallow. If we're stressed, our breathing becomes shallow. And so simply by taking deep breaths, we are, you know, helping ourselves more than we realize. And yet when it comes to meditation, you don't have to just do breath work to bring you into the present moment, but you can. Other things like listening to an external sound and allowing that to just keep you in the present moment.
Or I guess you've also done guided meditations, right?
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, we haven't even touched on that, but essentially there are a variety of different ways to meditate. You know, there's the mantra meditation that Timmy mentioned. There's guided meditations where you can put in headphones and, you know, listen to a speaker kind of walk you through some breathing, walk you through some very relaxing thoughts, walk you through relaxing and releasing the tension in the muscles in your body, just to bring you into the here and now. So there's, like we said, no wrong way or right way or better way. It's more about what works for you so that you keep doing it. It's just like exercise. If someone says, you know, like, do what's fun. If taking a dancing class is how you like to move your body, then do that. Or if you're going on walks, you know, or if you're not a runner, then walk and find a way that works for you. I feel like that's the same way with meditation. And kind of on that note, I'd love to share that I, for the longest time, tried sitting up. I even bought a really fancy sitting meditation pillow. Mm-hmm. And it does not work well for me. I feel like in order to really release and relax, I can't do that while seated. And so not too long ago, I was like, I'm going to try this lying down. And it was like, boom, so much just relaxation. And I was truly able to relax my mind, which I think is a big part of what we're saying meditation is, you know, the disidentification from the mind self, and also just the awareness of the thoughts, the relaxation of the attachment to those thoughts. And in order to do that, I felt like laying down really helped me to access that. So guided versus silent, mantra versus what's another, you know,
I don't know,
non-mantra, seated versus lying down. Like it's all okay. Just explore it.
I think that's interesting because that is one thing with TM. They recommend 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes at night. That's the style. And I've modified that because I do 20 minutes in the morning TM sitting up. And then in the afternoon, I do prime light meditation laying down, which prime light meditation was created by Jesse Elder. I don't think originally he called it that. I think he called it something else. But he has a course on prime light meditation that he sells. But I think I prefer to do that. Or I don't prefer. I do that laying down. I think it's never really thought about it that way.
But have you ever tried TM laying down?
I don't think so. I don't know. I learned it sitting in a seated position, so it's kind of strange. I never thought about it that way.
Well, and I think that it's really all about trying out what works for you, trying out what, you know, what can serve you and what you can stick with, because it's not about what you do one time. It's about what you can do throughout your day. And so that's why that whole mindful minute thing, which just for a moment, let's take a look at this word mindful. It's kind of silly, because the whole idea is just to kind of not empty your mind, but release the attachments of the mind. So when we talk about mindfulness and meditation, no, they're not exactly the same thing, but we really are talking about bringing this awareness to the mind rather than just being run by your thoughts. You see that the mind is a tool that you can use at your disposal. And I feel like when it comes to some maybe more anxious, anxiety-prone people or creative individuals, our mind can be this crazy tool of that can be just so beneficial, but also it can be our worst nightmare. It can cause so much struggle and strife. And if we don't give the mind direction, then it'll be a lot like what Elizabeth Gilbert says in her book, Big Magic, that if it's a lot like a border collie, having a border collie for a pet. And if you don't give it a job to do, it'll find a job to do, and you will not like the job that it comes up with. So I think that meditation is all about giving your inner border collie a job to do, reminding it that if I can watch these thoughts, then that means I am not these thoughts. It's a disidentification from the constant stream of chatter. Even though I consider myself such an optimistic person, the chatter in my mind is not optimistic. It's fear-based. It's anxiety-ridden. It has the worst-case scenario, and that's not who I am, though. That's why I constantly say I'm an optimistic person despite some of these negative thoughts. It's because that's not who I am. And the less I attach to the mind, the more free that I can feel and the more amazing I can experience life.
I think as I'm listening to you explain all that, I think it's interesting because as I explained TM, it's basically removing the thoughts and not giving them power, I guess, is one way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Prime light's kind of the opposite. Prime light, you are basically controlling what thoughts you have, mm-hmm. and you're replacing your thoughts. Mm-hmm. So it's a four-phase meditation. So the first phase is presence, where you just observe for 5 minutes your current state and how you are right now. And then you go into active appreciation, where you think about yourself as the past and things you've done in the past that you appreciate. And you build this kind of energy of appreciation for yourself and for life and for the things you've done. And then pre-paving is you go into the future and you think about your future self that's already done the things that you're wanting to do, you're striving to do. And then you kind of get tips from that future self of what they would have to do to get those things. And the final phase is receiving, and you actually receive ideas of how to do those things that you set out. So it's totally different. I never really thought about it that way. But one, you're removing the thoughts, and one, you're adding the thoughts in the way you want them to be.
I kind of feel like that's silent meditation versus guided meditations too. So a guided meditation is giving your brain direction. And another way of, you know, talking about that is this term creative visualization, which is, you know, visualizing the kind of life you want, being the kind of mom or dad you want, the kind of business you want. And I think that they're both very powerful. One is kind of taking the minds back and saying, no, you're just a tool. Watch, I'm going to watch you, therefore you are not me. And the other is saying, now I'm going to use this tool, and here's how I'm going to use it, and giving it that direction. So both, I think, are really great exercises for the mind, which is essentially the analogy we're sharing.
Yeah, and I think everyone's different, right? So analytical people might want to do it this way, and creative people might want to do it this way, or you take two and put them together and make your own. I think you mentioned that early in the other days when I started meditating, of making it my own, and I didn't like that. Like, no, these are the rules. They say do it this way at this time.
Right, different personalities.
Obviously, right? Evolved a little bit over time with that, but.
So let's say somebody's listening and they have never meditated, or they've done it very, like, maybe they tried once and it was hard, so they got up and never did it again. Or, I mean, what would you say is your best kind of takeaway or tip or piece of advice for somebody?
Yeah, I was thinking about this the other day. Like, before I started meditating regularly or taking the course, I had, like, a little app on my watch, and it was, like, mindful breathing or something, and I struggled to get through a minute. I struggled to get through 5 minutes. Like, it was the hardest thing to do. And I thought, how in the world am I going to do 20 minutes? And I've done hour-long meditations before. I think it's just progress, or it's a process. I don't think you're not going to be able to sit down and do it the first time. You're going to have to work your way into it.
Gotcha. So maybe your first tip would be start slow?
Yeah.
So, you know, even one mindful minute is better than zero mindful minutes.
True.
Or even one mindful breath is better than, you know, taking zero breaths, where, I mean, both you and I have been doing that more lately, like where we just suddenly take a really slow, deep breath. And sometimes the kids are like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, what are you mad about? And it's not always like that. It's like, no, I'm trying to recenter. I'm trying to recalm myself. And so by taking a mindful breath, I would say that's better than taking no mindful breaths. And so taking a mindful minute or a moment, you know, to meditate or to disidentify from your thoughts or to give your mind direction is better than none. So I totally agree. Starting slower, lower, with less time, but doing it regularly. Don't you think that the more consistently that you do it, the better? It's not just like...
Yeah, I think consistency is important. I think also give yourself some slack. You can't do it wrong. And it's hard in the beginning, and you might feel like you're not getting any benefit or you're doing it wrong, but you're not.
Right.
You're not.
Well, and I think, yeah, that's maybe the next tip is like try different things and see, you know, if you find it much easier to do a guided meditation, then allow yourself, you know, to do that. And if you find it better just to lie there, something we haven't mentioned is that both of us, when we do our lying down meditation, we put something over our eyes. It just kind of helps to prevent the possibility of just opening your eyes and looking around. Like just having that, I usually use like a really thin t-shirt or something. There's masks and blindfolds and whatever, but just placing something over our eyes helps to kind of bring us into that moment. And something else we haven't spoken about is the idea of stillness. That's really some meditation types more than others, but generally speaking, by stilling the body, by holding the body still, you are allowing your brain waves to enter that state of relaxation more so.
That was something interesting. You know, TM, they said it doesn't matter. You can fidget, you can squirm, you can whatever.
Scratch your itch.
Scratch your itch. But Prime Light, they're very adamant about, or Jesse's very adamant about not moving. That you shouldn't move at all. There's something about your brain and the way that when you're meditating, and I don't
the claim... stillness invites in, you know, the relaxation. It I think just stillness, they're saying, even if you don't know how to manage your mind and disidentify from your thoughts, just being still allows your brain to slip into those more relaxed waves so that you can experience relaxation.
Yeah, and I don't claim to know the science, but there's certain wavelengths that your brain does as you meditate, and as you go through the stages, the waveforms change. And if you're in an MRI, they could actually see when people are meditating, their brains firing different.
Is MRI the right thing?
I don't.
Some sort of
machine that measures your brain waves. Yeah. Yes, they can track the different phases for Prime Light or different meditations. They can track when you're hitting certain states, and it's actually scientifically proven that your brain is changing and different neural pathways are connecting and different things are happening. And that's why they say not to move, because that kind of interferes with it.
Yeah. And kind of like we were talking about in the beginning, we were saying that, we were saying that maybe some people, it's becoming more and more mainstream to meditate, and yet it's still not widely accepted. I think that if you walked in on somebody meditating in like a, I don't know, like a, in someone's, it would just be this awkward kind of, it's just not fully normalized yet. But I think it is becoming more and more normalized. So I would say another tip I would have if you're looking to exercise the mind like you would exercise the body is to kind of reevaluate the story you have about meditation. What are your beliefs about it? Is it boring? Is it useless? Is it hard? Is it weird? And if you're willing to take a look at those beliefs, you'll see probably why you haven't been able to stick with it. Because if you have an underlying belief that it's weird and hard, then who would stick with something that's weird and hard? But what if you believed it was, you know, the quickest path to relief and away from anxiety? What if you believed it was the easiest way to tap into your creativity, the fastest way to become a better partner, you know, any of those things? Like if you believe that, then it makes it that much more likely that you'll stick to doing it. So evaluate your current beliefs about it so that you can create a habit that you can actually stick with. Never even thought about that, have you?
No. Two palms left and right.
Right. Okay, so I think that's a pretty good, you know, jump start. Maybe sometime we'll have some meditation expert come on and they'll help us with the whole brain waves and which states your brain enters when you do certain things. But this is just, so, you know, kind of the beginner's session as far as why you might want to consider adopting a meditation practice and the benefits that you can get from it. Is that a wrap?
That's a wrap.
All right. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.